Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We approach 4 o'clock on this fine Thursday afternoon, a half hour away from hearing from Bad Tiki, an hour and a half away from hearing from the mayor of New York City. But we now present to you the Evan and Tiki Top 20, brought to you by H.O. Gross Jewelers of Garden City. This is the New York Top 20 of draft picks over the last 50 years. We are counting down. How did we get to this? How did we get to this? Liz, very simple. You had the chance to vote at WFAN.com/draft. And then we have a select panel. I don't know who's on this panel of dignitaries who then voted. So here's what we know so far. We know that Phil Sims was number 20. We know that Don Mattingly was number 19. We know that Tiki Barber was number 18. David Wright was number 17. Brian Leach was 16. Clark Gillies was 15. Daryl Strawberry was 14. And Doc Gooden was 13. So today, we find out about 12, 11, 10, and 9. Are you ready? So ladies and gentlemen, the H.L. Gross Jewelers of Garden City, Evan and Tiki Top 20 present... Number 12.
With the 15th pick in the first round of the 1977 NHL draft, the New York Islanders select Mike Bossy, Montreal, Quebec.
12 seconds left in the first overtime. And Snaps goes back to the net. Snaps will get rid of it. He did. Bossy scores! 2 seconds left on the clock. Get rid of the puck, and who is there? Mr. Mike Bossy.
The New York Islanders being represented very well. That's your second legendary Islander that has made the top 20. Congratulations. He was number 12.
Number 11, with the 22nd pick in the second round of the 1974 NHL Draft, the New York Islanders select Brian Trottier, Valmarie, Saskatchewan.
Side, Mike Bossy on the right wing with Bertrand and Poppin at the blue line. Casper on the faceoff, and Trottier breaks in quickly. He scores! Trottier, 5 seconds into the hockey game, flips the faceoff through to the blue line, picks it up, and beats Doug King. Brian Trottier's 39th goal, his 351st career goal. Watch it as he got it to the left side. Off O'Reilly.
Interesting. And this is why we got to talk to an expert on this, because the Islanders of that dynastic eras before my time, I think I may have gone Bossy over Trottier. That's just me, though. That's just me. But let's continue on and find out who's number 10.
Number 10, with a 205th pick of the seventh round of the 2000 NHL Draft, the New York Rangers select Henrik Lundqvist, Sweden.
Settled down there, but they cannot work their way through. It's Vanek with it, though. Backhand's winning. Oh, and what a play by Lundqvist at the net.
Hold on. I don't want to disrespect Henrik, the king, but... We just named like 10 combined Stanley Cup champions, and then we got to a guy with zero. I'm just saying.
It's not his fault.
I'm just saying, bro.
Not about championships. You stuck him on plenty. If he was on that Islanders dynasty, he would have won 4 cups. Mm. By the way, Bossy deserves to be ahead of Lundqvist, but I'm comforting knowing that Lundqvist is likely to be, at this point, the top hockey vote-getter on this list.
I don't think so about that. There's somebody else.
Number 9. With the 20th pick in the first round of the 1990 NHL Draft, the New Jersey Devils select Martin Brodeur, Montreal, Quebec.
And he crossed ball. Gave it back across now, and here's Gavrik across. Oh, and a shot deflected up high, and a rebound, and Brodeur is able to cover. one. It looked like a sure goal for the Rangers, but thanks to Marty Brodeur, it is not.
That's well-deserved. He's one of the greatest goaltenders of all time. And don't give me this neutral zone trap crap.
Well, I mean, he needed the neutral zone trap in front of him. Still a great player. If Lundqvist is on those Devils teams, they have any less cups?
That's not how we play this
But
game,
he did
though.
Get a cup.
If Brodeur's
one,
on any...
One, two, three. Three cups.
If Brodeur's on any of the Ranger teams Lundqvist on, do they win the cup?
I think you're just being bitter now as a Ranger fan. I know
just,
you hate Marty. I understand that. You
great
don't like
goalies.
Marty.
Let's go Devils.
Two great goalies. Lundqvist the better goal.
Well, let's talk to a hockey expert that can opine on all of this. And we're talking about the voice of the New York Mets. He was the voice of the New York Islanders. He was also the voice of the New York Rangers. One of the most famous goals in the history of the sport was broadcasted by this guy, and I'm talking about the great Howie Rose. Howie, good to talk to you. How you doing?
I'm well, guys. How are you? I didn't realize when I was texted about this, I thought it was all sports you were doing in terms of the top draft picks of the last 50 years. This is just hockey you're doing now?
Well, no. You know what's funny, Howie? So it's all sports. And for whatever reason today, because I didn't make this list. This is not me. It was half fan vote and then half there's this panel that kind of, and it's unknown. I mean, for all I know, you could be on the panel. I don't know. Maybe you're keeping a secret from me. I don't know. But it actually worked out where today was four hockey guys. You know, because think about it. When you think about draft picks over the last 50 years, the Islanders did pretty well. You know, the Rangers
had
their moments. Yeah.
Yeah. You missed another one by 1 year because the Islanders drafted Dennis Potvin 1-1 in 1973.
I know.
And he'd shoot right up to the top of that list.
I totally agree. You know. And there's a bunch of guys. Potvin, obviously Joe Namath on the football side, where the top 50 just cuts off a little bit. But I'm curious because you obviously remember the dynastic Islander team. When I hear Mike Bossy, I hear Brian Trottier, for those that weren't familiar with them and their contributions to that dynastic Islander team, can you give the younger hockey fan almost a lesson on their greatness?
Well, let me first address the order in which they were just presented.
Yes, please.
Because no disrespect to the great Mike Bossy whatsoever, but I would flip-flop those two and make Brian Trottier ahead of Bossy on the pecking list. Maybe he was.
He actually was. Right. I'm looking at it again.
Oh, he was. Okay, that one. Okay.
Yes, he's ahead by one slot, yes.
Okay, should be, because I can make the case that Brian Trottier, despite being a Hall of Famer, maybe, if not the most, and certainly among the most underrated great players in any sport. Because, you know, he played in an era which quickly produced Wayne Gretzky and then Mario Lemieux. And Brian Trottier is the best two-way center I ever saw, period. Wow. There was nothing on the ice that he could not do. And, you know, some of it's a little bit more subtle than the points that he piles up. He had one of the greatest forechecking shifts I've ever seen his rookie year. In the last minute of a game, the Islanders were ahead trying to close out Buffalo in a playoff game at Nassau Coliseum and clinch that series. Bossy wouldn't let the Sabres get the goaltender out because he was all over the place. You know, he put the body on the defenseman in the left corner trying to move the puck. Next thing you know, they reverse the puck, and there's Trottier in the other corner doing the same thing. And you know, never mind the fact that he scored 500 goals and however many assists. I mean, he was just a great, great player. Mike Bossy may be the best pure goal scorer in the history of the game. And by the way, the cut that you played of Bossy scoring in overtime to win game one of the 1982 Stanley Cup final, Brian Trottier never gave Mike Bossy as good a pass as Canucks defenseman Harold Sneps did. I don't know why he just threw the puck up the middle in the closing seconds of that first overtime, but he put it on the stick of the one guy on the entire planet that you don't want to give the puck to in that spot in that situation.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
What do you think about the goalies? Because King Henry obviously never won a championship. Brodeur had three of them, as Evan was just alluding to. But it's hard to really judge Henrik because we know how good he was. It just never came to fruition for him. And I think he gets penalized in some people's minds, but what say you?
A little bit, yeah. Look, Eddie Jockman was my boyhood idol, okay? And I love him to this day, but he never won the big one. Do you know how many Game 7s Henrik Lundqvist won?
A lot.
I don't know the exact number myself, but, it's plenty. And to my recollection, Eddie Jockman and the Rangers never had won a Game 7 until Henrik Lundqvist came along. Although, come to think of it now, didn't they go 7 with the Devils in 90? I believe they did. But the point is that, you know, Eddie Jockman, one of the most beloved goalies in the history of the franchise, just could never win the big one, and Henrik Lundqvist did repeatedly, just never won the Cup. And I think those are mutually exclusive.
So with Marty Brodeur, I think he gets disrespected two reasons. Obviously, the Devils being the third team in town, and then also this idea that the neutral zone trap almost made him better than what he was. In your opinion, how great was Martin Brodeur?
Well, I mean, the neutral zone trap, or the 1-2-2, or whatever you want to call it, might minimize scoring chances, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't, you know, affect the degree of difficulty of shots that Marty Brodeur stopped at key points of hockey games. That's overthinking it to me. Marty Brodeur, you know, is in that pantheon of a handful of the greatest goaltenders ever play the game, period. End of story. I wouldn't penalize him for the style the Devils played because when he needed to come up big, he did over and over.
Now, the modern New York Rangers, it starts on Saturday, or starts on Sunday, I should say, 3 o'clock against Washington. You're not calling the Met games in L.A., right? You're not doing these West Coast trips. So you can fully focus.
You can fully focus
on the – this is perfect for you. Where's your confidence level in terms of this Ranger team going on an extended run? They're obviously huge favorites against Washington. We'll see if it's Carolina or the Islanders. But give me kind of your thoughts going into this postseason with this Ranger team who's had just a brilliant regular season.
You know what? They won the President's Trophy in 94, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And yet, the President's Trophy just makes me nervous.
Because we talked about
all you have to do is, yeah, you just look back 1 year at what happened to the Bruins. And, you know, you talked about a couple of guys just now, Marty Brodeur, Henrik Lundqvist. Maybe Tiki takes exception to this as an offensive football player because you could make the case for the quarterback. But the quarterback's only on the field half the time. A hot pitcher. Starting pitcher gets two or three starts in a 7-game postseason series. A closer, he might get in most, if not every single game, but that's kind of hard to do nowadays with the up downs and all that other stuff. So to me, I have always felt that the goaltender in hockey is the most dominant position player in all of sports. And so you can get someone who just gets on one of those runs and upends every bit of logic and reason and analytic preparation that you could do trying to handicap a series.
Yeah.
Is Igor Shesterkin going to be the Igor Shesterkin that we saw down the stretch in the latter part of the season? Because he had a really rough patch there along the way, which gives you a little cause for concern, if not just a little pause, to wonder if the real Shesterkin's going to show up. You're right. They should beat Washington. I think they're a better playoff team now than they were even 2 months ago. I like the way they finished, but I've just learned over the years, you take nothing for granted. And there are more 1-8 upsets in hockey than in any other sport. So, yeah, they should beat Washington logically. There's no reason to surmise otherwise. But this is the toughest trophy in sports to win. And my biggest apprehension about the Rangers is, do they have the sandpaper to survive four rounds of what is a completely different sport than what we see from October until April?
Yeah, and it's a long grind.
That's what I worry about.
It's a long grind. But what about, I think the irrational Ranger fan gets worried about...
That's redundant, by the way.
Yeah, right. But it gets worried.
And count me among them because, you know, I lived it already.
But hear me out. They get worried about the towel, the aura of Ovechkin. And the fact that, they're big underdogs in this, but you never know with a superstar, great, no question Hall of Famer, and maybe one of his last runs, right? Should that be a concern, or is it just something that Ranger fans are playing negative mind tricks with themselves?
Well, I can give you some historical perspective on that, and it's a little bit different because the team that I'm going to reference right now, or teams really, were better then than certainly this Washington team is now. But Emil Francis's Rangers of the late 60s and early 70s, and I know you guys didn't see them, but for that period of 5 or 6 years, really had about as good a chance as any team in the league to win the Stanley Cup. Larry Brooks calls them the best team never to win the Cup for what that's worth, but I think Larry's right. And the difference to me was that in Chicago, when they lost a couple of playoff series to the Blackhawks, it was always Hull and Mikita. With the Bruins, it was always Orr. And with the Canadians, it was any one of a half a dozen of them. So you can have a transcendent player like an Alex Ovechkin who proves to be the difference. One way to mitigate that is stay the heck out of the penalty box because you know that's where Ovechkin can really kill you at this point. I just don't know that the support group is there. And at this stage of Ovechkin's career, he can carry them. But you know what? You tell a Ranger fan who doesn't have to be in his 60s or 70s about the Washington Capitals, and I'll throw a name at you. You might not remember or recognize. You ever hear of John Druce? No, right. Neither did most people who watched hockey in 1990. And John Druce all of a sudden became Rocket Richard.
Right.
And that's how the Rangers lost a playoff series to the Washington Capitals because of the unexpected. A guy named John Druce who had the series of his life. It happens. So, you know, again, there's no real logical formula which suggests that the Capitals should win this series. But when you've got one of the all-time great players in Ovechkin who showed in the last 2 months of the season that there's maybe a little more left there than people were giving him credit for, then I think that, obviously, you've got something to worry about. But the Rangers have a big edge in goal. I think the Rangers have a much deeper team, and there's no reason they shouldn't win the series in 5 or 6.
We shall see. We're talking to the great Howie Rose. Your thoughts. Obviously, we found out a couple of days ago about John Sterling retiring. You've had a chance to play his clips back in the day as doing updates and doing Mets Extra, and now as someone doing the same job, the voice of a generation, because you are the voice of a generation to young Met fans. That's Howie Rose. Give me your thoughts about John Sterling and his career.
Well, there's one guy who could have pulled this off the way he just did, and that's John. I mean, who spends all winter thinking, this is great, this is fantastic, I'm getting my life back, and then spring training comes along, and, you know, I think John did all of one spring training game and then begins the season, and after a couple of weeks says, nah, I've had enough. After all these years, when he refused to miss an inning, when he refused to miss a game,
for all those years. I mean, this is the most John thing John's ever done. and I say that, you know, lovingly, because I've known him for 50 years. And I could tell you John stories that would knock your socks off, but I'm not sure John would appreciate all of them. So I'll tease you with that a little bit. But I mean, he was just a piece of work. He was probably I don't want to put him in the past tense. He is, and I'm right on this list too. But John takes it to another level. Maybe the least technically adept human being in handling basic equipment that any of us has to handle. Of anyone in the business. And I'm sorry, he can't ascribe that to being 85 going on 86 years of age. I remember sitting with him in the press box in 1979 during the Ranger Islander playoff series. He had no longer been doing the Islanders by that point. I don't think he was with WMCA any longer, and I don't remember who he was working for at the time. But he and myself and a few others were responsible for going into the locker rooms after games and taping interviews with players and then using them wherever we used them. In my case, back then it was on WHN. I'm not sure where John was, but let me tell you something. Starting your tape recorder in order to do an interview involved two things. Really, one, simultaneously pressing a red and white button, play and record. Record was the red. John not only couldn't do that, he couldn't get the microphone hooked into the machine because all he had to do was just plug it in. It was hysterical. And this is, 45 years ago? So, you know, he was in the prime of his life, prime of his career. But that's John. I mean, it's just John. And then he gets behind the microphone and he's got this perfect, mellifluous broadcast voice that comes from the heavens, right? Mm-hmm. Any single one of us in this business would kill for John's voice. One thing that you guys won't remember, and I don't think John has ever gotten enough credit for because it didn't end really well, was the quality of the talk show that he did when he was doing sports talk in the early 70s, really through the mid and into the latter 70s on WMCA. John knew a little bit about everything, transcending sports. And this is before ESPN came along and before there was a consciousness in New York about college sports to the extent that it is now. I mean, he knew who the outside linebacker was for Oklahoma. And you know, he could tell you anything about the most obscure college basketball program in the country, along with knowing everything about the NBA, the NHL, and the other major pro sports. Incredibly well-read, incredibly bright, and just a personality that I think you know is one of the most unique in the history of sports in this market.
No question. Howie, we appreciate it. Enjoy the break, enjoy the hockey, and we look forward to hearing you calling the Met games when they come home.
I appreciate that. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you, Howie.
The great Howie Rose giving us some intellect on the four that were announced today in the big Evan and Tiki Top 20. If you're just tuning in, you can rewind 18 minutes and hear the official announcement. But Mike Bossy, number 12, Brian Trottier, number 11, Henrik Lundqvist, number 10, and Martin Brodeur, number 9. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock, we get four more. And then we're down to our final four, the big reveal Wednesday, the eve of the NFL draft at 4 o'clock. We find out the top New York draft pick over the last 50 years. Bad Tiki is minutes away. Plus, we'll squeeze in some of your calls, 877-337-6666. Bad Tiki, just a couple minutes away. We'll also talk to the mayor of New York City in about an hour. And Bill Belichick, he's created quite a cloud that may hover all over the NFC East. We'll address that coming up at 5 o'clock. A couple of your quick calls, and then we'll get to Bad Tiki. Let's go to Mark in Bayside, New York. What's up, Mark?
Oh, hi. How you doing, Evan and Tiki? It's a pleasure speaking to both of you.
Appreciate it. What's on your mind, pal?
Well, what I want to tell you is Aaron Judge is one of my favorite baseball players. And I go all the way back to 1966 when I went to my first game.
Look at that.
The reason why I'm mentioning that is because I was at the first game Aaron Judge ever played when Tyler Austin, that's a name from the past, and Aaron Judge on August 13th.
Didn't they go back-to-back in that game or something? Is that when Aaron Judge hit his first home run? Yeah.
Back-to-back. And when I saw him hit that shot, I said, boy, that's incredible, the power this kid's got. I never dreamed how great he would turn out to be. And the reason why I'm mentioning that if I was watching some spring training games with Spencer Jones this year.
Yeah.
Now, he could, I mean, I'd just say as a longtime baseball fan, he could be a true unicorn, and I guess we'll know more in the future. But from the left-hand side, he's almost as tall as Judge. I think he's like 6'5".
Yeah, he's a big hulking guy, but he's also fast, like you said. He's a great prospect. The problem is he's in Double-A. I mean, who knows? Like, we could be multiple years away from him. And I was talking earlier about the Knicks, about don't think about the offseason, only think about the right now. While prospects are exciting, think about the right now.
Yeah.
And the right now is the Yankees could win a World Series this year. And maybe Spencer Jones helps this team next year or the year after that. But I was checking out his numbers recently. He's only played like a handful of games at Double-A, so it's too early to tell. But he's off to a nice quick start at Double-A, but he's got a long way to go. And then we'll see. Maybe he'll be the next great Yankee player.
True. And just because he looks like Aaron Judge from the left side doesn't mean he's going to be Aaron Judge.
That is correct. I've seen many a prospect from the Mets and the Yankees get hyped up, look good for a couple of weeks, and then it just doesn't work out. Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being and is not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN, Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Bad Tiki, welcome back to the program.
Evan, how dare you start any segment without mentioning the legendary career of the GOAT, John Sterling? You are a disgrace to broadcasting.
What?
You can only pray that one day you will have a career 1/100th as accomplished as the Silver Fox with the pipes of an angel. Sterling is king. Bad Tiki and Sterling for life.
Bad Tiki, nobody's disrespecting John. John's having a whole day dedicated to him this Saturday at Yankee Stadium. We love John. I think you're mistaken.
The only thing mistaken here is your ability to understand exactly how disrespectful you've been to the sleek stylings of Sterling. So suave, so handsome.
Bad Tiki, come on now. Take it easy. We all love John Sterling, and I don't think Evan was being disrespectful at all.
You watch your mouth, regular Tiki. You're obviously jealous of the illustrious Johnny Pipes. Also, it's no secret you are envious of how tall I am. Bad Tiki is so tall, and regular Tiki is not.
Bad Tiki, I didn't realize how much John meant to you. Do you have a favorite John Sterling, Cole?
Great question, Sean. Finally, someone paying the proper respect to the Sultan of Sound. By the way, Sean, are you looking slimmer and taller? Is that a jawline I see looking sharp today, my man? And to answer your question, yes, I do have a favorite call. Do you mind if I perform it for you?
Sure. That'd be interesting, Bad Tiki.
Here's the 1-1. Sean High, there goes. Deke Watson is high. That is par. Bird is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record. This is Judgment Day. Case closed.
Wow.
What happened?
That was pretty good, Bad Tiki. You're really going to miss John, huh? Do you have any thoughts on who should replace John in the booth?
Of course I do, Evan. You are talking to him. That seat belongs to Bad Tiki. I already cleared it with the new boss, Ryan Hurley. He's great. He complimented my long flowing locks, and he couldn't help but notice how tall I am. Tall Bad Tiki in the booth, boy.
What? Bad Tiki, that job cannot be yours already. What about Emmanuel Babari or Justin Shackle? Those guys are supposed to be there already.
Bad question, regular Tiki. Bad question for Bad Tiki. Also disrespectful to the graceful greyhound himself, John Sterling. Here is some audio of those two children calling a game. See what I mean? Someone call a babysitter for those babies. What are they, little babies? I was never even a baby. I was always Big Bad Tiki. Not Baby Bad Tiki. Babies are so dumb. Dumb and annoying. So pointless. Why even make babies when you can just make more and more Tikis?
Bad Tiki, how did you even get approval for all this so quickly? It just doesn't add up.
Well, Evan, it's not what you know. It's who you know. I got the green light from my very good friend that we created this morning, introducing my Yankees companera, Bad Susan.
Thanks, Bad Tiki. Looking forward to working with you. You were the obvious choice. I love Bad Tiki. He's the greatest broadcaster to ever live.
Thanks, Bad Susan. I feel the same way about you. That's strike three. He's out. What a pitch. The Yankees win. The Yankees winning.
That right there is what makes you the best in the business. Bad Tiki rules.
Okay, you know what? This is actually disrespectful to John Sterling.
Oh, shut up, Woody Nopecker. What would you know about anything other than finding new ways to avoid your family? I don't even exist in the physical world, and I can smell you from here, Robert.
Oh, come on, Bad Susan. Back off my partner.
Hey, watch your mouth, Shorty. They don't call her Bad Susan for nothing.
They call me Bad Susan because I'm so bad.
All right, this is getting out of hand again. The Yankees are honoring John on Saturday before the game. It's going to be a special day at the stadium. Can we leave it at that?
What Saturday should be is a special day honoring Bad Tiki taking over in the booth. Isn't that right, Bad Susan?
That's right, Bad Tiki. And when did you get so tall? Very tall, Bad Tiki.
And I thank you, Bad Susan.
What the hell is going on?
Okay, I have to go prepare for tonight's broadcast. I'll leave you with one last thing. A special home run call for each of you.
All right, well, that's nice.
Tommy Lugauer hits one deep, but no one saw it because his boring ass put everyone to sleep. Sean Morish with a blast, but nothing is as strong as the blast from his ass. It's Morash with explosive gas. Regular Tiki swings and hits it over the trees. Too bad he's not as tall as Bad Tiki. So what do you think?
Well, I mean, aren't you forgetting someone, Bad Tiki? No call for your pal, Evan?
Great question, Evan. Okay, but seriously, congrats to the pinstripe poet, the home run harmonizer, the stadium serenader. John Sterling, the suited Labrador, deserves his day in the spotlight. I'll take good care of the booth, John. Don't you worry. Watch this. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Evan Roberts hits a home run. And while he's rounding the bases, Mrs. Roberts is on her way to Bad Tiki's place. Bad Tiki is so tall and irresistible to Mrs. Roberts. Bad Tiki out.
Oh, jeez. Oh, all right, well, thank you, Bad Tiki. That was something else today.
Bad Susan, too?
That Bad Susan was insane, by the way. Oh, my God. God, Bad Tiki's a sentient AI-generated being not affiliated with or representative of The Real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. That Susan thing is going to freak me out. I mean, I got to tell you, especially when she was saying mean stuff to me. Right. Like, I love Susan.
It's just, the voice was dead on.
I mean, she said, shut up, Woody Nopecker. Like, Bad Susan said that to me. I'm going to have to live in a world in which an AI sounding just like Susan called me Woody Nopecker.
So Bad Susan is saying you don't have one, and Bad Tiki is trying to sleep with your wife. Yeah, probably because Bad Susan is saying you don't have one.
Thank you. Thank you for connecting the two together. Jeez. Well, Bad Tiki, every Thursday, 4:30, right here on WFAN Cheese. Let's go to Chris in Orlando, Florida. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, Evan. It's been a while. Been a little under the weather, but I'm doing good now. Just real quick, I want to throw some flowers and then ask you a question, Evan, as for your fandom. First of all, from the days of Baltimore, Maryland, to now the afternoon drive and now your own book, I just want to congratulate you on behalf of, you know, basically your entire Rico Bronya and your entire family. We love
thank you,
Evan.
Chris. That's very nice. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
And I don't want anyone to underestimate what you've done as far as the book and everything like that. And same to you, Tiki, from coming with a great show with Brandon now to Evan, the switch up. And
thank
hopefully
you,
the Hall of Fame one day. I wish you the best, brother.
Appreciate it, dude.
Evan, I got a question for you.
Yes.
For those of you that, you know, Tiki, first off, I just want to, when you said, why do you hate the Knicks so much? And Evan really couldn't put it into words. With all due respect, Evan, you never deleted it, but I'll never forget May 14, 2019. Back in the day before Rico, Evan has a Evan Roberts podcast.
That's
lottery
right.
Reaction as it happened. And if you guys don't know why Evan hates the Knicks so much, just listen to how he feels when they didn't get Zion, and I guess that kind of worked out in the long run for him.
Yeah.
But nothing is better than listening to Evan on that podcast. So if you get bored to Tiki, that
what
was
that, what was that podcast? What was
I did
it.
Well, I basically the Evan Roberts podcast was anytime I want to. Yeah, no, I got you. Yeah. Anytime I wanted a pod. So there's wrestling, the Nets, the Mets.
So I could find it?
Of course. I think it still exists.
Oh, nice.
I still add to it every once in a while. Yeah. I still post every once in a while.
I did not know about the Evan Roberts podcast.
That's right.
Thank
it's kind of like a dormant podcast at this point because the Rico takes up most of my time. But yes, I did do a live reaction to the Knicks lottery, which I know ruffled a lot of feathers. I know Giannotti told me that's the moment he really started hating the Nets.
The Evan Roberts podcast.
That's right. And, yeah, I enjoyed the fact that they did not win the lottery that
day. Follow show.
It's a good listen, though, and I really applaud you, Evan, for not deleting, because I know there was a Saturday show where you said, oh, I'm thinking about it. But here's my question, Evan.
Yes.
Knicks lose by 20 on opening night, or you can't have both, or Manaea comes back with a four-hit, seven-inning shutout with the bullpen closing it out, and they kill Yamamoto 10-0 tomorrow. Which one would be more important this weekend? Game one, a loss by the Knicks of 20, or the Mets killing it with Manaea making a comeback start in L.A. to start the series?
Wow.
And, guys, I love your show. Thanks for allowing me to have it.
Thank you, Chris.
Wow. You're not going to like the answer.
Oh.
I don't think you're going to like the answer. You're giving me a choice between the Knicks losing game one at Madison Square Garden, and I mentioned this earlier on the show, when the Knicks have home court advantage and they lose game one at home, they lose the series. It is almost a constant. Whether it was last year against Miami, whether it's 2021 against Atlanta, whether it's back in the 90s, if they lose game one at Madison Square Garden, it is curtains. Indiana series back in 2013, it's a constant. You're telling me I get that. I get the Knicks losing game one at Madison Square Garden and the panic hits versus the Mets winning a regular season game? I mean,
think this one through before you say this.
Right.
I don't have to think it through. It's a very easy answer.
You are going to root for a team that you don't root for to lose over a team you root for to win. So don't cry in September that if the Mets had just won one more regular season game, they would be in the postseason. Don't do that. Root for the teams you root for, Evan. Don't be like this. I fall into this trap, too. We all do, too. Worry about the Mets. The Mets. You want the Mets to win.
I understand. Of course I want the Mets to win, but he gave me a choice. I have to give an answer. The Knicks lose by 20 in game one, which puts their postseason hopes in doubt.
Shut up.
Versus a regular season game against the best team in baseball, the LA Dodgers? I think we all know the answer.
Sad and pathetic day here.
Right.
For you.
Why is that sad and pathetic? Why?
Because you're a Met fan.
I am a Met fan.
So root for them to win.
I am rooting for them to win.
No, am I wrong, Sean?
So what Evan's doing, if anybody's noticed, he actually didn't give an answer.
Shut up.
Yes. So it can never be brought back. This is the same thing with the death in the season eyes. And, I never said it into a microphone.
Why?
You are couching this, Evan. Speak into the microphone your actual answer.
Let's go
You ask a direct question.
Wow. You're a carny.
Let's go
He's
to
prop comic. Not being pinned down.
Well,
par excellence.
I think it's obvious if you listen, you know my answer. I don't think I have to spell it out for you.
By the way, Sean, I didn't realize you and Evan went back so far.
Did we?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
December 23rd, 2019. Decade in review. Evan is joined by host, producer, and avid Giants fan, Sean Morris.
Oh, I do remember that.
As they begin the trek of talking Giants and Jets from the last 10 years.
That's right.
Oh, right. We did horrible in downloads. That's how you ended up next to Evan.
I do remember that. I took the Evan Roberts podcast very seriously. I would do it like twice a week.
This is going to be interesting to listen to some of these old
did
takes.
Did a decade in review from the decade that was. Oh, I've got a lot. BT joined me for a Knicks preview before the offseason where they didn't get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and he guaranteed they would get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. I got that one. I got a lot of stuff in there. Yeah.
Wait till he gets to Evan and Loogie breakdown WrestleMania.
That was a state of the WWE post.
Yeah. Don't tell me you're going to listen to five-year-old podcasts.
I mean, I might find some of these and just, I don't know, look at them.
And by the way, the reason I don't update it anymore is because I'm very, the Rico. The Rico takes a lot of my attention away.
Oh my
God.
That's
my excuse. What?
The Decade in Review is going to feature Tiki Takes.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Decade in Review is 2010 to 2019, numbskull.
Oh, you're right. I'm forgetting what year it is. I thought it was 2014 first.
No. It's the decade. It's the decade that was.
My mind, we were sitting in 2014 right now, and I was thinking about that.
And the interesting thing is I see every host from Sal Licata.
Oh, yeah. I mixed it up.
Everyone except for me.
Why would I put you on? What was the reason? To talk about what?
I don't know.
Oh, the Giants? Decade in Review? Yeah, I think Sean elbowed you out.
Jastrzemski is on here. Everybody. Loogie's even on here. WrestleMania preview, as you were just talking about. Everybody but Tiki, who was in the studio right next door for a decade.
What was I going to ask you to do?
I don't know.
Giants?
Talk about something.
Would you have wanted to?
Knowing me how you know me now,
you
could have talked about anything.
Yeah.
Literally anything. You could talk about aliens for an hour.
Well, that's what I would have done. Knowing if I knew you the way I know you now, I would have done an hour and a half on aliens. 100%. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Tiki, you want to come on One Giant Step early next week? Preview
I'd love
the draft?
To.
All right, then we'll schedule
it. There you go. Let's go to Scotty in Connecticut. What's up, Scotty?
Hello, gentlemen. Good afternoon. How's everybody?
We're doing well. Good afternoon to you, sir. What's up?
Fantastic, fantastic. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Listen, you guys were talking earlier about the NHL schedule and botching it up. And first of all, the NHL botches everything. I mean, you couldn't get a stadium jersey till 2 days before the event, and then the jerseys came out, and you knew why they came out so late. But that's another story for another time. Anyway, I got a solution for the whole NHL problem. Start the season 2 months earlier. Start the season in August, rather than starting it when the NBA is starting, in the middle of the NFL season, in the middle of the college football season, and in the beginning of the Major League playoff season. That's then, and then
I can't believe. Hold on a second, Scotty.
No, wait.
Okay, go ahead. I'll let you finish, and then I'm going to tell you what I can't believe, because this is crazy what you're saying right now. Go ahead.
Now listen, because the NHL gets no pop at the beginning. Then we all agree the NHL playoffs, there's nothing like it. Marash, I know you're nodding up, but you're heading down right now. Yep. If you're a hockey guy, there's nothing better to win these 16 games in the postseason. There's nothing more difficult. There's nothing better. Hockey playoffs are unconditionally better.
All right, go ahead. Yeah.
So why would you have your hockey playoffs up against the NBA playoffs? I don't care how good a game, I don't care how big a game
Scotty,
is.
If LeBron Scotty, James is on the TV, I understand. Scotty, you may have wired WFAN because 2 days ago, off air, in the newsroom of WFAN, I was telling you, I think it was Sean of all people, so he's here to quote me on this.
You were.
An idea I've had for many, many years, a radical idea about the NHL. And it's very similar to what he said.
Yeah, start it earlier.
Start it during the summer, okay?
It's funny because I just asked Sean via talkback. I was like, when does the NHL season start? And he's like, first week of October.
Yeah.
There's no way you can pay attention to that.
Unless you're a diehard fan, 100%.
Fan. There's too much other stuff going on.
You got baseball playoffs, even if we didn't have it this year with our teams. You got the NFL season, and you do have the NBA. So what I've always thought, this is an older opinion I've always had, but I expressed it a few days ago because we're about to start the postseason, that I would start the NHL season in June or July. Hear me out on that. First of all, June or July, okay, it's kind of exciting. It's hot outside. Go in, air conditioning, regular season hockey. What are you really competing with? You're competing with baseball. Okay. For those that want to sit outside, you got baseball. For those that are like, ooh, I want a refreshing, refreshing Sunday night, I got Rangers Sharks. I then start the season early, which means the playoffs don't start in April. They start in early February.
Right, where it's a dead period.
The NFL.
What do we talk about all the time?
Bingo.
Oh, NFL is done. What are we watching until March Madness? And nowadays, nobody gives a crap about March Madness because they don't know anything about any of the teams.
Right, so you give them something to care about, the NHL playoffs. And I would have it in February, March, and have it end maybe the first week of April. So the only thing you're really competing
when baseball is starting.
Yes, and the NBA playoffs start. Because our last caller is right.
Not a bad idea.
Look, we're going to serve as best we can the Ranger fan, the Islander fan, and the Knicks fan. Okay? And it's not going to be easy. Because the Knicks and the Islanders are going to go up against each other every night. God knows if the Rangers and Knicks are going to have conflicts, not necessarily at home, because they play in the same arena. And so what you do is you take the air out of a city. If it's split up and the Ranger-Islander playoff run was happening in February and March, the entire city would pay attention.
Yeah,
does hockey need to be on this schedule?
I will tell you, while I agree, there's no perfect answer. We are featuring a rarity where we actually have both teams really, really good.
Yeah, forget that, though. He's just talking
about
it.
What's the reason and why this would happen? Okay, this year the NHL set a record for attendance. It sounds all nice. Throw them inside in air conditioning. This is the same deal that Tampa Bay Rays struggle with. There's a million things. People don't want to sit inside in the summer. They don't. They want to sit outside, baseball. And we see as the playoffs go on in warmer cities, those warmer days, the ice gets really choppy. You can't play a couple months
That's
of the regular,
regular season,
the summer, season
hockey.
But
though.
You can't play in front of lesser crowds with choppy ice for a couple months. And then the bulk of your regular season buildup, including the race here at the end to get to the playoffs, is going to happen during the NFL playoffs. So that still doesn't. Your playoffs will be standalone, but you are going to basically punt on the entire season when it's showing, I mean, hockey in records all-time attendance this year. I just don't think it plays in the summer, man.
But you're only talking about a short period of time. You're still getting hockey in September October and November and December. Like, you're still crossing over at
But
a
now the more
time.
Important games are being played during the most important NFL games, and you're trying to avoid that. I don't think there's a perfect answer other than the majority of places, you usually don't have that much crossover between the NHL and NBA with two good teams at once.
But nationally,
yeah,
you do have a crossover with the two sports happening at the same
time.
Right.
You're right about the regionality of it. Like it just it doesn't cross over a lot. Some places it does, obviously. Dallas, Arizona, and not in Arizona anymore, but it doesn't in some places it does. A lot of places it doesn't though. So you're going to be fine.
But do you think you're going to go from 3 million people watching a conference final to 10 million by playing it in February or March?
I think if you had any
hockey is if it's standalone, absolutely. Yes, I don't think it's going to get to 10, but it could double to 6.
I think he's right. I think the NHL playoffs are this incredible thing. You know, we all love the NHL playoffs, yet our eyeballs may not be stuck on it.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of it is there's so many other things going on. You know, whether it is baseball season, whether it is the Knicks or an NBA team going on a run. So, look, this is never going to happen, but it's a thought I've always had. So I'm glad that he called in, and I brought it up to Sean 2 days ago off air, that it would benefit the NHL to kind of own the postseason. Because right now, it's a competition, and it sucks. Like, one of the things, and I have a couple of friends like this who actually are, even though I have a tough time believing it exists, die-hard fans of a winter hockey team and a basketball team. And I'm like, how the hell do you do that?
Yeah,
I got a buddy of mine who's a die-hard Islander Knicks fan, I swear. And he watches every game, and he swears he's a die-hard fan. Well, I got news for him. You're going to see a preview of it on Saturday, and you're probably going to see it on Monday when the schedule comes out. They're going to be on at the same time. Like, that is crazy. And I get it. Most markets don't have multiple teams, but we're New York bleeping city. We're New York City, and we're going to have two playoff teams playing at the same time, and you just wait to NFL draft night. Just wait. Oh, what are the Giants doing? What are the Jets doing? Well, guess what? That same night, you'll probably be having to watch the Rangers, the Islanders. They're all going to play.
That's what it looks like, by the way.
Yeah.
Knicks are already playing that night, aren't they?
Knicks are already playing that night, and if you go every other for the Rangers, it's there, and there's been a little leaksy that that's going to be the first game at UBS for the series.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Oh, wow.
Everything could be happening next Thursday night, a week from tonight.
Wow. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it is fun if you have multiple TVs. It's sports overload. We'll get back to your calls. The mayor will join us at 5:30. And Bill Belichick has an eye on us. Is this going to be a distraction for the New York football Giants? We'll get into it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.